Welcome to the Write for Reason podcast. My name is Janet Wilson. I'm a publisher of Christian fiction for young people with Dernia Publishing. If you're a Christian and new to writing stories for kids and teens, stay tuned for encouragement, creative writing tips, and actionable strategies you can implement immediately to become a better writer. Today we're going to be looking at the whole subject of book reviews. It's something that came up in our Writers for Reason Unite group. There is a certain amount of confusion about what makes a good book review, and we want to do it well, don't we? So I've asked book reviewer and blogger Brenda Daniels to come and talk to us all the way from South Africa to give us some clarity and make the whole thing simpler for us. Now, Brenda has worked as a freelance journalist for about 20 years. She has her own blog, which is called A Feast of Tales, in which she features book reviews. In the last few years, she's tried a hand at fiction and has written two children's novels that remain so far unpublished. She has a dissertation of children's short stories and a number of other short stories, one of which won a prize. Hey, well done, Brenda, for that. Since completing her MA in children's literature through Roehampton Uni last year, Brenda has worked at increasing the number of rejections she receives, she told me, by submitting her dissertation to several competitions. And right now, Brenda looks after her grandchildren during the day, and apart from book reviews, is also working on a picture book. So lots there that I'm sure some of you will identify with straight away. Maybe not the grandchildren, maybe the grandchildren, maybe the picture books, maybe increasing your amount of rejections. But anyway, Brenda, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Janet. It's an honor to be on your podcast.
Oh, it's lovely to have you, Brenda. Now, I've asked Brenda if we can discuss two different sides of writing book reviews. Firstly, how to write the perfect review yourself for fellow authors' books or any book that you've read for that matter, what to put in, what to leave out. And secondly, what to ask readers to put in their reviews for our books. Now, this is a really useful thing to be able to pass on. As you're aware, having good book reviews can make a massive difference to book sales. And if we can make it simpler for our readers, so much the better. And Brenda is definitely our lady there. So grab a pen and paper or your writing journal and let's get stuck in. So Brenda, first of all, how long have you been writing book reviews?
I think since about 2006, so that's 18 years.
So how important do you think book reviews are then, Brenda? You know, what is the purpose?
Well, there's a number of reasons. I think up front, I should say that book reviews help to define an audience. So your book reviews will change depending on an audience. You might have academic reviews, so they'd be aimed at perhaps students or other academics in a particular field. You'll have journalistic reviews, so perhaps for a newspaper or a magazine, those might be more objective.
Sure.
And then blog style reviews, which are more personal and casual and would be followed by people who like the style or genre that particular person reviews. So firstly, a review will help to define a particular audience. Then another reason or purpose of a book review is the basic thing to sell books, which you've already mentioned.
Yes, definitely.
So, you know, marketing, show what actual books are out there. That's a very basic one. Reviews help to meet a need. So perhaps mothers would be looking for books that would help them to parent better or look for books that are suitable for their own children. And then they'd look around for reviews in that particular area. Reviews can also give advice if you're an expert. So perhaps an academic who specializes in fairy tales. I'm thinking of a man called Jack Zipes. If he was to write a review of a particular book and you specialized in that field, then you would be more likely to engage with what he's saying.
Right. And possibly yes. The book. Yes. So if you know the person who's reviewing it, it's going to give you some kind of authority figure. Yeah. And you think, yes, it's worth listening to what he's saying. Yes. So I guess people who follow your blog would know the kind of books that you're putting up there. Most of Christian books on your review blog, are they?
It's a mix. I'm Christian, and then it's just about all fiction though.
Uh-huh. So it's fiction, yeah. So if people want to clean fiction, they'll know where to come and find you.
Yes.
And are more likely to listen to your voice because they know who you are.
Yes, definitely with blog styles.
Yeah, so getting known as a book blogger then could be quite a useful thing for a writer.
Yes, if you want to have a following in a particular.
Yeah, good. Well, let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit then. So looking at part one, how to write a really good review for somebody else, whether you're writing it on a blog or not all writers have blogs, do they? But I guess quite a few do. But if you haven't got a blog or it's not suitable for your particular blog, but you want to write a book review perhaps on Amazon or on another website, what should you include, Brenda? And what perhaps would you not include?
Okay. Well, genre or age group is an important one.
Yep,
We've already sort of mentioned that.
Yes, so let them know straight away what genre it is so that people know whether it's worth their reading on if they're interested. Yep.
And some of those might carry sort of recommendations. So who would it be best for? So,
for instance,
I read a book recently that is aimed at children. It's a picture book aimed at children, but it's one that has a lot of politics in it. And so I recommended that it be read in conjunction with adults because adults would help
to explain. Yeah, any issues that came up, they would be able to talk about it. That's really useful. Yeah.
The basic plot is something you would include in a review, preferably without spoilers, depending on the audience.
So you're saying depending on your audience. So what exactly do you mean by that? Would you sometimes include spoilers?
Academic reviews certainly would.
Okay, yeah. I'm thinking, of course, from a fiction mindset. So I was thinking, you don't be wanting to be giving away what happens at the very end, do you?
And that can be tricky. It can be tricky not to give a spoiler. Speak about the characters.
Yeah.
That can be woven in with when you speak about the plot because they go together.
Yes, of course. Characters. Yeah.
Style, I think, is a very important aspect of a review because it dictates the reader's experience of a book. A book is not just a plot and characters. It's how it's written. What is the point of view? What is the language like? So I'm thinking of a book called A Thief in the Village by James Berry, which is a children's book. And while it's written in clear, easy to read English, it has the idioms and the rhythm that reflects a Caribbean type style, which is where the stories are set.
Right.
And that adds humor. It creates pictures in the reader's mind.
Some kind of atmosphere.
Mm. It's a very important aspect of reading. So to mention the style. One thing that I think is very important, especially in a blog style review, is how you as the reviewer engaged with the book.
Right. So something a little bit more personal.
Yes. It's the experience that I had while I was reading. And I think that when you talk about how you engaged with the book, that often also gets to the actual essence of the book itself. And it helps you as a reviewer to say, well, what do I really think about this book? It helps you to get to that point. You might put in that section something like, what is your reason for reading the book? Do you belong to a book club? And this was the one that came up. Do you fancy trying an audiobook for the first time? So you would talk about your experience. You can include quotes from the actual book.
Okay, that's not against the copyright then to do that?
No, as long as you say in a particular section, in inverted commas, this was a quote from the book.
Yeah, so as long as you've quoted the author's name and the title of the book and it's part of a review, that's okay?
Yes. Yeah. So that basic information is also something you would include in the review, the title, the author, perhaps the publisher, where it's available.
That sounds good. As a publisher, I like that.
cost, and even page count, because some people are put off by books that are too long. You know, if you don't have a lot,
yes,
then you wouldn't want to read something that has 1,500 pages.
Yes, yes. So if you had a reluctant reader as a child and you were looking for a child's book, something like a page count, even if you just said simply, this is quite a short book, that would be really useful information, wouldn't it?
And then you could also include information about the author and his or her other works that are part of a trilogy, for instance, or, you know, there's an author that you particularly like and follow. And so you could do that. If you include things that you perhaps didn't like about the book, I think that can be quite educational to the person reading the review.
Okay.
And it may not stop them reading the book at all. It would actually help them in their reading to see. They might not have noticed something like that if it were not for the review, and then they would notice it and be able to see it in other books and therefore appreciate.
Okay. Could you give me an example of something that you might not like in a book but that you might mention in a review?
One book that comes to mind, it's not actually a fault of the book. It was part of the style.
Uh-huh.
But it was a way of narrating that kept the reader at arm's length. The characters were unlikable characters to begin with, and then the style added to that. I think it was done intentionally. So it's this is probably not a good example, but it's the one that comes to mind. It's can put readers off because you never get to like characters at all.
Oh.
But it's worth mentioning that because you can learn from that as a reader.
Yeah, okay. So especially if you're saying to somebody, hang on in there, because the first few pages you might find a bit tough, but it's worth carrying on.
Yes, certainly.
Yes,
it was of the actual language was beautiful, and you would miss out who didn't read.
If you didn't carry on with it. Mm, that sounds really useful. Very useful tip there.
Okay. I think I've covered most of the items now of what you could include in a book review. I think you also mentioned what should you not include. I think the only thing that comes to mind for me there is don't make your synopsis too detailed, because that's just boring.
Oh, you know, yes.
A reader of a review, they want to get to the essence of the book.
Yeah.
They want to see the overview of it. I would say get
so not several paragraphs of this is what the book is all about.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You know, thinking about book reviews that you've read, you would tend to skim that, wouldn't you? So how long do you think book reviews ought to be then, Brenda?
Again, I think that depends where you place it. Generally speaking, I work between 300 and 500 words. So that would work for a short magazine review. And also, I think that number of words is an optimum length for a blog post.
Right. Enough information in there so that people know what it is without being too long-winded.
Yes, yes. Some get longer than that, maybe 700 words. I have done some where I've combined two or three books in one review. But I personally...
Right, so if you were writing if it was a trilogy or a series, it may need to be longer because you've got more to say. That totally makes sense. Right. So 300 to 500 words is probably a good length. And obviously, if you're writing a review for a magazine or a newspaper that wasn't your own, you'd want to check the word count, wouldn't you, to make sure that that was going to fit in with what they want. Okay. So if supposing you were writing a book review on a website like Dernier Publishing, about how long do you think that ought to be?
I think I would go with my original thing.
Right.
I would say
so. That covers the length of reviews. Have you got some ideas about, supposing you've got a friend who's an author, you've read her book or his book, and you're quite keen on like helping them out and writing a review for them, where would you suggest that you do that, Brenda?
Well, there's the platforms such as magazines or newspapers. Certain magazines have, you know, place for book reviews, and that depends on the audience. You know, Christian magazines will want reviews of Christian books. And then there's lots of online platforms like Amazon itself, or there's Goodreads. There's a platform called Scribd, which is where you can subscribe to it, and they have loads of books and audio books and that. So there'll be other ones like Scribd.
Right.
And there's room for you to put your reviews of those books.
Now, I've heard of Scribd. It's Scribd, isn't it? Scribd. Scribd.com. Yes, so that's a place where you can post reviews. That's interesting. I don't know what you think about this, Brenda, but once you've written a review, you might as well post it on several different sites, mightn't you, so that it gets seen by a lot of people. After all, you've done the work once. It's just a question then, isn't it, of finding new places to put it.
Different associations, you know, they'll have newsletters. So there's one called Children's Literature, I think. They would want reviews. They have reviewers. There's a place called Reader's Favorite, which is an American-based site. They have reviewers of all sorts. You actually sign up with them to be a reviewer, and you get
small
money. It's not payment, but it's a small sum. So they specialize in reviews of books.
But so there's lots and lots of different opportunities. And I guess Christian bookshops often have online stores as well, where you could leave a review. They'd probably really appreciate that. And Dernier Publishing, that's Dernier. Let me give my own publishing company a quick plug here. You can write reviews on that too. So there was another question that I'm very interested to know your thoughts on this one, Brenda. In your opinion, if you've really not enjoyed a book, should you write a bad review? I can see you smiling here. I know we're on Zoom. I know you can't see us smiling, folks, when you're listening. Brenda's looking as if she's going to thinking about this one carefully.
So generally speaking, I don't have reviews very much of books I haven't enjoyed. But there is place for saying what you think about a book that isn't quite right. So, for instance, Amazon, where you rate the book.
Uh-huh.
I think it can be quite important because it's a money-making medium, you know, you sell a book. And if there's a lot of hype about a book and it has lots of factually incorrect information, or it wasn't edited well at all, I think it's right to actually say something about that. You know, it wouldn't be right to let books make lots of money and they're not really up to par.
Yes.
But when you do give negative feedback, there's ways of doing it. If I put something in my reviews, I think of what I call the Toastmasters way of doing it. So you'll talk about something positive, then you put something negative in, and then you finish with something positive.
Got it.
I think it makes it easier for people to swallow.
Yes. I think that is a really wise little bit of advice there. So if there was something that you didn't enjoy about a book, whether it was the pace or one of the characters annoyed you, or perhaps there was some historical setting which wasn't quite right, maybe the dialogue was a bit clunky or something like that, you would kind of sandwich that in and out of the, it was an excellent fast-moving plot or something like that. I think that's really helpful because it is useful to get proper feedback, isn't it? That sounds a very nice, sensitive way of doing it, but still being honest. Right. Well, I think we have covered part one, which was how to write a really good review for other authors' books. So let's move on to part two, because as you mentioned previously, reviews are really important, aren't they? And it is part of the sales process. It's part of the marketing thing. And as authors, we love people to review our books. Now, I have found, and I know I'm not the only one, that if you ask, say, 10 people to review a book for you, you may get 2 or 3 people who actually do get around to writing the review. It's not something that everybody feels comfortable to do. The reason I asked you this question as to, you know, what should you ask readers to put in their reviews, is because I thought if you can say to readers, please, would you do this, this, and this? Give them some clarity. Just make it simple so that they will perhaps encourage more people to write reviews. So what do you think? If a reader says to you, of course, I'll review your book, but what do you want me to write? What would you say?
I think I'll answer that in two ways. So there might be, say, three/four things you could include.
Right.
And
yes.
And secondly, what I'll say is roughly the order that I think you might put it in.
Right.
So firstly, how did you engage with the book? And to think about that, you can answer some questions for yourself. Why did you read it? What did the book say to you? What did you appreciate about it? How did it help you? And that will once again get at the essence or the theme of the book. And it will help you as a reader and reviewer to get to what you really think of the book. And I think when we're thinking about Christian books, that then also reflects, it will reflect your values and the values of the book. And certainly Christian literature is going to want to promote that.
Yes, values and is a very important part of it, isn't it? Especially for children's books.
Yes. And that is also, it relates back to what you were saying about being honest. So I would say that's the first thing. How did you really engage
with the book? So how did you engage with the book? How did it help you? There was a little list there you had, Brenda.
Why did you read it? What did it say to you? What did you appreciate about it? And how did it help you?
Now, that's brilliant, because people at home, as long as you're not jogging along the road or in your car, you can write those things down. So that was point one. How did you engage with the book yourself?
Okay, so secondly, then, to talk about the plot or the story and the characters. So you might comment on the flow of the story and how engaging or strong you found the characters. And that would be, it would be a summary if you were to think of there being streetlights, you know, jump across to the streetlights in your summary of the book without giving away the ending. So there's lots of things you won't include in that section. It doesn't have to be, you know, completely comprehensive.
No. And as you said before, you want to keep that bit simple, really, don't you? Because it's what people thought of the book or came away with. And as you mentioned, the values, which is really important. But obviously, you do need to know a little bit about the story and the plot and the characters, don't you? So,
and then thirdly is that discussion we had on style. So there you can include point of view, which would be, you know, maybe omniscient or first person point of view.
Uh-huh.
It could include language, chapter length. That can often influence how a book is enjoyed, and whether it's audio, because how it's narrated has a big on the reader as well.
It's becoming bigger and bigger, isn't it, the audiobook market?
So that influences the reader, and style manipulates the reader intentionally. Fourthly, it's not really a point. I would say it's how you write the review. And I would say write to entertain. I know that sounds funny.
It's not at all.
A review that you want to sell. It's the book you want to sell. But how you write is going to draw the reader in, because they like the way you come across as a writer. Then they're more likely to read the book too.
So this is the thing about audience, isn't it? So know who you're writing for and make it entertaining.
I would say that, just apart from the basic things that I mentioned earlier, such as the title, the author, where to buy it.
Oh, yes, of course.
In fact, that would probably be the last point then. So cost, publisher, and make that the last thing you do, because those are just basic things that a person can quickly glance at.
So if we're going to ask people how they engage with the book, a little bit about the story, the plot and the characters, something about the style of the book, and a big tip, overarching one, write to entertain, which I love. And of course, at the end, you include, or at the beginning, I guess, whichever most convenient, the title, the author, where to buy it, and what format it is available in. Cost, perhaps, as well. Wow, that's been really interesting, Brenda. I think people are going to find that really useful. Now we're armed and ready to write reviews and also to get some reviews for your own books if you already have some written. Why not start doing some reviews for authors who you know or know of? Perhaps you've only met them online. But you know what? It is a little bit of a reciprocal thing, isn't it? Writing reviews. And if you're kind enough to write reviews for people, they may well be really happy to come back and write for you in the future. Let's make it simple as we can for our readers to review our books too. So I think we just about got to the end of that then, Brenda. Thank you so much for coming, for taking the time to prepare all that material for us. Is there anything, final tips that you could offer our listeners?
Yes, so I do book reviews because I absolutely love books and I love reading. And I would say to other listeners who also love books and love reading, let your passion come through. If you're really enthusiastic about a book, write a review and let your passion show. It's so important for literature.
That just does strike a chord, and I'm sure it will with many listeners, because almost all writers are actually readers, first of all. We all love reading, don't we? We love reading. We love books. We like opening a book. We love the smell of the book. We enjoy opening a book and beginning it, and we love sighing with satisfaction at the end of a story, don't we? So yes, let your passion come through in your views. That's lovely. Thank you. If anybody's listening would like to read your blog, Brenda, is it afeastoftales.com?
It's afeastoftales.co.za.
.co.za. Okay, yes. Now I will write that in the show notes for you folks. So thank you so much, Brenda. It's absolutely brilliant. It's great to have this review set off. Now we're all going to go and write some reviews, aren't we, folks? And if you'd like lots more free creative writing tips, hop on over to writeforreason.com. You'll find loads more resources and encouragement there to help you write excellent, relevant, fun novels and get them into your readers' hands, and hopefully now to get lots of reviews for them too. If you haven't yet done my free course, Gripping Beginnings, you can sign up to start straight away. This will help you grip your readers from the very first page of your story. Don't put it off. Today is a gift to use wisely. Only you can write your book. And if you've been called to write, somebody's waiting for it.